Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. It was a little different scenario a year and a day ago when COVID-19 had been declared a worldwide pandemic. Here's what it sounded like when we introduced our first audio service. So after 25 years in ministry, I thought maybe I had seen everything, but this is a new one. Friday night, we learned that all Anglican churches in the diocese, and in fact in the ecclesiastical province, are closed. And suddenly, how do we do worship for everyone? Well, this is an interesting way. Via an audio file, we have put together a team of Steve and Paul and Paul and John and Hannah and myself. And we are going to worship and allow you to eavesdrop. Our cast of characters today contains many of the same people. Myself, Keith Nethery, rector of the parish. Hannah Scorer, our assistant curate, will be leading the service of the word. Paul Grambo and Victoria Piovason doing vocals. Steve Hollowitz is our music director and playing the organ and piano. And as always, John Gardy, who we introduced you to 366 days ago, is at the soundboard. If I remember correctly, I said something similar on that day about relaxing and focusing and coming together to worship.
Gracious Father, whose blessed Son Jesus Christ came from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the book of Ephesians. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. John 3:16. It's ubiquitous, isn't it? We see it everywhere, from posters at sports games to bumper stickers to those wooden signs people buy for their houses on Etsy. It's probably the verse that most people recognize. And if its popularity is anything to go by, it's probably a lot of people's favorite verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Wow, that's the whole gospel in a sentence, really. And that's probably why so many people like it and use it. I mean, what else do you really need? You know, the stuff about who begat who and what you can eat and where and the greetings to various communities by Paul, it's all really just filler for this. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." But let's really think about this, because I think if we took longer than it takes to read a bumper sticker, this favorite verse might actually prove to be very difficult to swallow. Let me explain. This gospel in a nutshell that Jesus articulates shows us that God is fundamentally a God of love, that love is the logic by which the kingdom of God runs, and that God's love trumps everything in the end. Everything. Now you might be saying, okay, we already knew that. That's not news. And really, that's a good thing. Love is great. It's nice and warm and cozy. And also, for those of us desirous of fairness, it also says it only applies to everyone who believes, which totally implies a different outcome for those people we might think are bad. So really, there should be nothing that we don't like about this verse. But read on. Read the rest of this passage. And in the next verse, Jesus states that God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Period. Mic drop. This isn't a judgment call on non-believers, placing them outside eternal life. It's not punishment. It's a crisis, a tragedy, a loss that all humans face when they fall into darkness and cannot find the light. It is the promise of God's love to redeem such loss, turn such tragedy into victory, and demonstrate true power through sheer vulnerability and sacrifice. And that's the part of this that if we really looked at it, we probably would not like. Because what this verse truly says is God's love is so big, so encompassing, it takes in the whole world. And that for that world, it sacrifices. It empties itself. In the face of a people who believe in the security of power and might. God's love enters through vulnerability and sacrifice, through a baby born and a humble carpenter's words, through fishermen and tax collectors and tent makers, through often ignored women's work and foreign nationals, through lepers and sinners and outcasts, through people marginalized and oppressed. It takes all the things we think we know about privilege and wealth, power and success, and it topples it. It tears it down to build us up. It scrapes away the scales from our eyes to see that no matter how many titles we get, no matter the positions we achieve, no matter how much money is in our bank account, God's love covers us so completely. And it is exactly the same for the people next to us, the people that we think are ahead of us, and the people we choose to leave behind. This is the claim it makes on us. That when we're down in a hole so deep that Canada Post has to reroute our mail, that when we have created a disaster so big that they have to call in FEMA, that when we are drowning in a tide of our own problems, God loves us. When we have done the worst thing we can think of, when we are broken and lost, when we are brought low and dirty in our sin, God loves us. And not just us. It is not just us that don't deserve it. It's all the people we think don't deserve it either. Because that's the thing about unconditional love. We can't control it. We can't earn it. We can't twist it to our advantage. We can't manipulate it. It's so abundant that we can't hoard it up and we can't take it from others. There is nothing here we can do. And while that might sound like a free pass to do what you like, it's not. For when we have died to all our delusions of power, we can see that this is not about how bad we can be, but how good we are made. We are made by that love, called to that love, named by that love. We are shaped by that love, and we have within us the capacity for that love. We are meant to look at creation and see God's face, see God's love shining through. That love is not a judgment. It's not a bribe. It's not a reward. It's a purpose. It's an understanding of who we truly are, who we can be, the very best version of ourselves. And when we find that together, we can form that necessary paradox of life, that the more love you choose to give, the more you empty yourself in love, the more filled you are with the Spirit. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved my fears relieved.
Let us now confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As I mentioned at the start of the service, it was a year ago that the worldwide pandemic was declared. Churches were closed, lives were changed. This past week, the Most Reverend Anne German, our Metropolitan, sent resources to mark the somber anniversary. Think of the many who have died, the lives that have been changed. But as we are always called to recognize, to see also the hope, these are the prayers that were provided. So let us join our voices with the one who is gentle and humble, lifting our hearts to God, praying, hear us as we pray, God of grace and mercy. For the sick and suffering, particularly those afflicted by the COVID-19 virus, that God will bring them to wholeness and restore them to those who love them. Let us lift our hearts to God. Hear us as we pray, God of grace and mercy. For all who care for patients and their loved ones, that God will give them strength for their service and wisdom to seek help when they are in need. Let us lift our hearts to God. Hear us as we pray, God of grace and mercy. For the fragile elderly, those struggling with fear, people vulnerable in health, and all enduring isolation in this time of pandemic, that they may know the warm embrace of God's compassion. Let us lift our hearts to God. Hear us as we pray, God of grace and mercy. For decision makers at all levels of government and community health care, that they will be gifted with wisdom and courage for the well-being of those whom they are called to serve. Let us lift our hearts to God. Hear us as we pray, God of grace and mercy, for all those who have died, and for mourners who must grieve their loss apart from loved ones, that the time will come when we may gather once again to sing Alleluia over the graves of our beloved. Let us lift our hearts to God. Hear us as we pray, God of grace and mercy. For whom or what else would you have us pray this day? Let us lift our hearts to God. Hear us as we pray, God of grace and mercy. God of grace and compassion, you shoulder our burdens and ease our heavy hearts. As we mark the first anniversary of the declaration of the pandemic by the World Health Organization, be comfort for those who grieve, strength for those who falter, and eternal rest for those who have died. buttress our hearts and wills, spark our imaginations, and kindle hope in our depths, that we may trust, follow, and love you for our well-being and the sake of the world. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Now, gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you, those that you love, and those that love you, this day and forevermore. Amen.
To love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.